Hello again. Welcome back to another episode of the Community Conversations podcast. I am joined by the wonderful Stephen Wakefield.
It's me.
And the magnificent Noah Chant.
Wow. I haven't heard that one.
No, the thing you guys got to figure out is which better, magnificent or wonderful?
Well, clearly mine. That's not even up for debate.
I don't know. Magnificence.
It's all right.
The incredible.
I didn't say incredible.
No, magnificent. Come on, stay in your lane.
No, I'm excited to talk about this stuff with you guys again.
Yeah, me too, man.
We are closing out our emphasis on worship.
We're moving into scripture in the 2 weeks. It's the first time as a church, actually, we'll be breaking down a book of the Bible. We've never really taught that way.
It'll be the first time we're reading scripture. It's going to be a big...
I figured, we've done enough extra chronicle stuff. We should probably break out the old book.
A lot of other people are doing it, so we'll...
Yeah.
I'll try it. I don't agree with most of what's in there, but I'll try it.
Okay, so we're closing this out, and you kind of know when you were putting together kind of the roadmap for this emphasis, you kind of left the first and the last message almost as bookends, and that they're topically they're kind of similar.
Yeah,
and word for verse. You opened it up with just talking about how we as humans are created to worship. Mm-hmm. We're designed to worship God. Mm-hmm. And this past Sunday, you spoke on maybe just a little bit more of the practicality of what that looks like in our daily lives.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the centering scripture of this emphasis has been Romans 12, 1 through 2. It's kind of been the overarching scripture of the emphasis as a whole. And the concept, the idea from Paul is he's basically broken down the gospel from every angle, and he gets to Romans 12:1. He says, therefore, which is a connecting statement of the previous 11 chapters.
And whenever you hear, therefore, you got to ask yourself, what's
it
there for?
There for?
I never even thought to say that, and I should have.
Yeah, you should have. Have you never heard that?
I've never heard
that. Oh, man. I've heard countless sermons where the pastor says, now, anytime in scripture you see therefore, you got to ask yourself, what's it there for?
That, I'm not going to lie, though, that's brilliant.
It is brilliant.
It is brilliant. Yeah. If I would have come up with that, I would have literally thought, no one's ever said this. I would have thought that was the
I'm
most
so
original.
Different.
What I have said week one was, in our language, I think that word would be better said I say all that to say.
Right. Mm-hmm.
That's therefore what it means, predominantly means, I said all that to say.
Yeah.
But he goes in and he says to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, which is, depending on which translation, either your spiritual worship or your true spiritual worship, is offering your bodies. And so, really, how do you offer your body? That comes in so many ways.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I offer my body in my vocation. I offer my body to my children and how I comfort them and love on them, take care of them. I offer my body to my wife. I haven't been turned down yet. Batting 1,000 over here. Can't say that for everybody. I'm like, yes, Paul. Whatever you say, I'll do. Guys, something you have to realize is
once I get going, there's no reins.
He gets
back.
Drunk on laughter.
I do.
But I think even in your finances, and a scary one for me sometimes is your language. But there's every aspect of me. There's an opportunity for worship. You know, and it is similar to seeing, you exist to worship God, yes, but if we don't break down the practicalities, it will live only in philosophy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And as long as stuff is just philosophical, I really can't apply it.
Mm-hmm.
And it needs, you know what I mean, pliability, I think, in how we... sometimes I think as a communicator, I can forget the amount of pliability people need with what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I can get a little head knowledgey. People are like, that's great, but how does it affect, I have to make dinner tonight?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. I think bridging the gap between the spirituality and the practicality of just life in the kingdom.
Yeah. Yes. Because, and I don't say this in a sexist way, in any way, but, like, you know, me and Bailey even had this these conversations around like when she makes dinner, you can determine that that can be an offering of worship to the Lord and how you're taking care of your family, or you cannot.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be served, but you can see aspects of your vocation or your life or whatever you're doing as worshiper. You can't. One just leads down a lot healthier road, I think.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And like our lives, we love to think about the like the moments that are like fewer and farther in between throughout our week. Like we get like a corporate gathering that happens once a week.
Right.
And so like that's a very obvious time for, you know, to for an expression of worship. But our lives are not filled with those types of events to the degree that they are filled with the mundane. Mm-hmm. It's the making dinner, it's changing diapers, it's doing bedtime, it's, you know, it's all of those things. And I think when you shift into, like you were just saying, like you're doing it either way. Like I've got kids in the house, either way we're doing bedtime.
Yeah, I'm going to be doing these things no matter
either
what.
Either way we're changing diapers, we're making, you know, we're cooking meals together.
Right.
So I think when you recognize that your life is literally filled with opportunities every single day, all day, every day, for the things that you're doing to be an act of worship under the Lord, kind of shifts everything.
It does. It changes how you, like, Martha or Mary chose the better seat while Martha was making dinner, but would it have been the better seat if Martha would have seen what she was doing as worship instead of work?
Right.
Mm.
And so, you know, she saw herself as doing something well. And sometimes we're so like, just, I can't believe I have to do this. I can't believe I, you know, I can't believe I, you know, and you do that with children. I think the worst way or the hardest thing is when you do that with children, when they're in a sleep regression and you're like, God, I would rather do anything than be here. And then those 3 months pass by and now they can kind of talk or they're walking. And you're like, I'd give anything to go back to the sleep regression when all they could do was crawl or be held.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can either process life through, I'm ready for the next thing, or I hate this, or everything isn't how I want it. Or I can process my daily existence from a place of like, this is worship unto the Lord.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that I think changes. And that really is, in my opinion, the need for the contemplative life. Inside of, you know, we talk a lot about using the language of being contemplative charismatics. And I think the contemplative side of that teaches you to be present with your existence in the moments. Like charismatic is built to create a moment in which we all kind of go, like, let's get this.
Mm-hmm.
Contemplative creates in you an internal world where I can be with you guys right now and be understanding that this is a place of holy worship in the back of my mind, because I'm living in a state of internal peace and awareness of where I am and what I'm doing instead of just kind of zombieing my existence. So that's kind of the angle.
Yeah, I think with that scripture too, because it's a really familiar one, you can kind of breeze through what it's saying, but like
so
to really slow down and think about the kind of people that he was talking to when he wrote this. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. He's telling this to people who all their life, or at least the Jewish people in that time, would have continually brought sacrifices to the temple to remain right in the eyes of God. So to think about what he's saying in the context of culture in that time, bring your bodies as a living sacrifice. So not a sacrifice, he's specifically saying a living sacrifice of praise. So he's saying in this, like he's implying that there's this continual act of bringing your body under submission to the Lord. And I think that's like a really special, it gives a lot of life to this like really familiar scripture, that there are just constant opportunities to sacrifice how you'd like to go about your day, or how you'd like to go about your tasks, or being a parent or a husband or a wife or a worker or an employer or whatever, to think about how do I offer this situation that I'm in? How do I offer it as an act of worship to the Lord? How do I, like Noah, you'll talk a lot about how, you know, our role in bringing dominion into the earth is to bend the will, bend what is chaotic into the will of the kingdom.
Yeah.
But we also have to consider that like God is bent. He's creating us. He's forming us into looking like Christ.
Yes. Yeah.
And so in the same way that like, you know, that takes an act of like bringing the things around us that we see in the world into alignment with the kingdom, we also have to remember, like, God is doing, he's forming something in us. Mm-hmm. And I think that doesn't happen once a week in a church setting. That's an aspect of it. Mm-hmm. But there's six other days in our week where God is actively trying to just bring his kingdom into our way of life and bring us into the rhythm and the flow of the kingdom way of living. Yeah. You know?
And I think the big word in that is living. And I think oftentimes what spirituality doesn't involve is living, but God is creating us a way of living.
Yeah.
And people, when they see that how we can actually live, and that means we engage in commerce and art and history and marriage and life and money and everything. When that becomes worship, we create an existence in which people go, oh my God,
yeah,
I didn't know that existed.
Right.
And that's kind of the whole thing. And when we worship in how we exist, like you're saying, like, it does create a hunger from someone else that goes, how are you doing that?
Mm-hmm.
How are you doing this mundane thing over and over and over and over and over again?
Yeah, well, and that, okay. and what we talked about in a previous episode when we were talking about the difference between joy and happiness.
Yeah.
So, like, I think that it's very attractive to a person who's very moved by the emotions and situations in their life that dictating their happiness or lack of it. Mm. Like, being a believer who has a source like the presence of God in their life gives you joy through the highs and lows of life. Yeah. And I think even that is an attractive thing to people, that you may not be witnessing overtly and telling someone about Jesus, but your life and how you handle especially the lows in life, I think that alone is a very attractive thing to someone else who doesn't have an anchor, who doesn't have the Lord in their life. You know, I think that is one of those things that God has kind of like given us as a gift, as a tool to reach people, is this idea that like what he's given us bleeds into every other area of our life.
You know? It's that idea of, and we've talked about this, I think not in this series of podcasts, but in previous episodes, about like every moment is holy.
Yeah.
If you'll make it.
Right.
Every moment's holy.
Right.
You know, like there's a bunch of books of liturgy. I'm writing one right now on being able to have liturgies for everything. Like before you approach social media, when you wake up, before you go to bed, you know, before you approach breakfast. Like you can create holiness out of any moment if you see it as a moment for holy, to be holy.
Right.
You know, and that's what I just don't know. I think people separate existing and spirituality too much. I think there's a fork in the road for a lot of people mentally of like, I live my life and then sometimes I'm spiritual.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that's not a biblical worldview.
Yeah.
Right. And I think, you know, when I think about like using my body as a living sacrifice, I just think about like, how am I physically interacting with the things that I'm interacting with.
Yeah.
And that could even be as simple as like if I'm going to use, because I'm pretty active on social media, but if I'm going to use social media in such a way that is like honoring to the Lord, like that requires that I have like standards about like what I allow myself to look at and what, you know, and things like that.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not fully like disengaging from, and we talked about this on a previous episode too. It's hard to find the balance between like, how do I know exactly how to be in the world and not of it?
Right.
And the answer isn't always to disengage with everything that the world has, but rather engaging with what the world has in such a way that it is like honoring and glorifying the Lord.
Sure. And to me, like worship in life is always about micro decisions and micro moments. Mm-hmm. Like, just an example, like my wife's love language is physical touch. And so if I'm in my office and she's doing something in the kitchen and I need to go like get a snack or something in the kitchen, I have a micro moment to go grab what I want, immediately go back to my office and shut the door. Or I could just, you know, graze her back with my hand, rub her shoulders for a second, kiss her on the cheek, give her a hug, and then go back in. And it, to me, that would not mean as much.
Right.
But like, I just know my wife and it's like, what a guy, you know? And it's like,
yeah.
It's using my body to honor my marriage, which in turn shows how God designed it, which in turn is worship.
Yeah.
And it's just like you said with social media, how I use my eyes, how I use my words, how I use my hands. All those are just micro decisions of our existence and how we, and I can determine to be the husband I'm designed to be or not.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's little things. It's never, it's, you know, I'm not like, hey, let's just bow our heads real fast. Yeah. I need to grab a cracker, but let's just bow our heads.
And
take a moment here.
Right.
But like, you know, like I'm trying in my life now. One of the things I feel like I've been, the Lord's just kind of been walking me through in conviction is my lack of intentionality when it's not time to be intentional. Hmm. There's tons of times I don't have to be intentional.
Yeah.
Right.
Valentine's Day is intentional. Birthdays, the dinner table. Mm-hmm. Those are like kind of normal moments of intentionality. But crossing each other in the hallway, passing by in the kitchen to grab a snack, doing this, doing that, just little moments of physical touch, or hey, I love you, or like it's being intentional in the moments where intentionality is never required.
Yeah.
You know, and finding ways in my day, like I'm back kind of full time into the daily offices of prayer. And it's never big prayers, like especially around lunch, like it's always like the Lord's Prayer or something quick.
Sure.
It's a minute, 2 minutes.
Yeah.
But that return of my soul and my spirit to the presence of God in micro moments of my day has shifted how I think.
Sure.
And I think like a life of or worship in life is micro decisions of being who I'm designed to be over and over and over and over and over again. And that kind of leads, I think, to an existence that really is worshiping God in a way you've never seen. You know?
Yeah. I think that concept too of allowing more moments, or even to be extreme, allowing every moment to be a holy moment, I think it is so countercultural right now. But and not just right now, just really just the world. Everything in life is built around kind of numbing yourself and just kind of existing, and whatever happens in my day, like that's just what happens. Yeah. And lacking intentionality, lacking purpose in those things, like everything from advertisement to shows to social media, everything is built around capturing your attention.
Yeah.
And the one person who's not going to force your attention is God. And I think if we want our life to be one that worships Him and not worshiping ourselves, it requires our own intentionality to make a moment that seems mundane and treat it as a sacred one.
Yeah.
Because the truth is, God will always match that. Anytime. Mm-hmm. I mean, that scripture says if we draw near to God, He will draw near to us. It's almost like it creates this picture like God is just sitting there on the edge of his seat waiting for you to give Him your attention.
Yeah.
Yes.
He's the one person who won't force you to pay attention to Him.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And I think that, and it's seen in everything, like, even from someone who works predominantly from home, like if I'm not intentional about being around Benjamin, there's days I could just zip by.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And not create time to just be like, you know what? Let's just sit together, bud. Like let's just let's just spend 30 minutes and let mom do something and we'll just be and like and it speaks volumes. Like you don't realize how much it brings you to life, but it's just always those moments. It's the same thing. It's intentionally choosing. I'm going to choose you over something else. And that's what worship is.
Right. Yep.
You know, like it's almost impossible to talk about worship without talking about idolatry. They're hand in hand. Yeah. But like that is that splitting gap is the micro decisions of you versus me. You know, and you do that, you need to do that with your kids and your wife. And that stems from how, if you'll do it with the Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's all those little moments of, you know, like I just know, like if I don't have my time in the morning, everything else is going to feel chaotic. If I allow Benjamin to dictate when we're going to wake up, which sometimes on a Sabbath, like that's how it is.
Sure.
Like, it's just going to be, like, full go, you know, we're gassing up, there's no stop, there's no moment of quiet, you know, like, and so, like, you've got to live in intentionality. The Christian life is a life of extreme intentionality. You know, worship requires intentionality.
Yeah, all of it. I mean, you said it earlier, but none of this happens by accident.
Right.
No.
You want to grow, you want to get closer to the Lord, you want to experience holiness and freedom. Yeah. Like that will never, ever happen by accident.
Yeah. It's the worst, like it's the, I'm so proud of my heritage in every way. The worst part about my heritage was the over-exaggeration of spontaneity in spirituality and the lack of intentionality in spirituality.
Sure. Yep.
the lack of like literally God was so detailed, like the carvings in the Holy of Holies had mm-hmm. to be like every inch and centimeter was determined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yet I'm just like, you know, if he's not in it today, he's not in it. You mm-hmm. know, like I saw this and it's kind of, it's not bold for someone like me to do this, but there's a guy I follow on Instagram, has a really great book called Thirsting. His name is Strawn Coleman. Really amazing book. But he's like a Christian kind of spiritual formation guy. He actually writes a lot of spiritual poetry. But there was a post by Relevant Magazine, which is a pretty big thing, and it was like, you know, like, you don't have to be a morning person to be with the Lord. Like, he's not a morning person. Whenever you want to gather with him, you gather with him. And he kind of responded with like, I'm not trying to be rude, but like, I disagree. It's like, I'm not a morning person, and I forced myself to get up to be with the Lord, and that has changed my life more than anything.
Sure.
Because I'm doing it, I'm being intentional out of my comfortability,
yeah.
and that's creating a tension in me in which allows me to be more
yeah.
of who I'm designed to be. Mm-hmm. And everything's built around that. Like, hey, yeah. like if you need to worship tonight, do it tonight. Like, don't worry about, like, you know, reading plans in Scripture are getting smaller. One verse and half right. a verse, and it's like, it's about like, don't worry about being intentional, just squeeze it in when you can. It's mm-hmm. like, no, like, do deep intentional work of getting up or before you go to bed, or like, do deep work in sure. your soul,
yeah,
to worship God,
yeah,
and watch what it does. No one's mm-hmm. not a lot of people doing deep work and digging, you know, deep wells, which kind of we right. talked about right before this emphasis,
right? Yeah, yeah, that's so good. There's something about, because the thing about sacrifice too is sacrifice is costly. Mm-hmm. It's meant to be costly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if it's not costly, it's not really a sacrifice anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
yeah.
So if I'm going to present my body to the Lord as a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. yeah. but that's not costing me anything.
Right.
Then.
Yeah. I yeah. mean, yeah. well, and there's no more truer case than that. Like, one of the things that me and Ben had to work through was, are we doing stuff? Are we abstaining during Lent simply to, like, most people are like, I love Lent because I lose 20 pounds.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's not
yeah,
the
yeah.
point.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, am I abstaining from things because I know they cause chaos to my spiritual life, and I know that getting rid of this and feasting on the Lord instead will grow me? Or am I doing it because, like, I love a time when I can go do, like, 75 hard? Like,
yeah.
that's not the point. The idea
yeah. Yeah.
is that it's not supposed to be.
It's still being about you anyway.
Yes, yeah. it's still about yeah. you. Yeah, and the yeah. idea is it's about the Lord. And so right. it's like, I always have a hard time during Lent because, like, I do hate social media, and I do hate that I love social media.
Yeah.
And so I it's always good. But I do know that that does distract me from the intentionality of being more present with the Lord.
Yeah.
And so, but, like, you know, like, do we do things for ease?
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Because Lent can be easy because, you know, you're like, man, I hate this fasting, but another 4 pounds this week.
Yeah. Right?
It's like,
yeah.
well, then you're missing yeah. everything of what the whole process is about. Yeah. We do way more stuff out of ease than out of worship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we, you know, we don't do a good job at, like Stephen said earlier, like, you know, like, bending our will to his.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I, yeah. a lot in my life, have to bend my will to him.
Yeah. yeah.
Me and the Lord are, in a lot of ways, are exact opposites.
yeah.
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
in every way, we're exact yeah. opposites, and mm-hmm. it feels like sometimes. And so I'm always feel like I'm taking my will like a, like, you know, like a fork you used to do when you were a kid and just bending it
yeah.
backwards.
Yeah.
You know, to yeah. go like, you've got to look like this now.
Right.
And, well, it's and the reality is, though, anything in life that you want requires a level of discipline.
It does.
If yep. you want to be a good husband, you are going to have to exercise bending your will
yeah.
to please your spouse.
Yeah.
If you want to be a good father, you're going to have to exercise disciplining yourself in moments to not be distracted on your phone or your show or what you want to do. Like you're talking about, spend a half hour just sitting with your kid. You
yeah.
know, like anything in life. If you want to be good with your finances, you can't do that by just buying everything that looks, you know, exciting to you.
Right.
You have to bend and you have to discipline yourself to invest in that. And
yeah.
it's for whatever reason, we don't want to do that with our relationship with the Lord. But if you want to be good at anything, you want to be good in your job, it's going yeah. to take moments of disciplining yourself and saying, this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
But 10 years from now, that's who I want to be. And so I'm going to have to make a different decision, you know? Well,
and the hard part about that is sometimes that means now saying no to another discipline that you enjoy more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Totally. Yeah. Like, that's what's hard about it. With like saying yes to the Lord, sometimes you're super good at disciplining yourself to go here or go there, or you love Pilates or you love this or you love that. And it's like sometimes you've got to say no now to this extracurricular activity because you want to say yes to the Lord. And so it's giving up one form of discipline for another. Mm-hmm. And that's where people have, I think, the most challenging time, is because even people who are super disciplined, who blockchain their schedule, it's like, well, I can't fit them in here because I have them. It's like, okay, well, like something has, some discipline has to be given up to be disciplined.
Yeah, sure.
That can be another whole challenge of that, that thing is like, you sometimes you've got to choose something you love to give up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be with the Lord, mm-hmm. not something you hate.
Right.
Like I hate social media. Like I love it, but I hate it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it can be a little easier, but like giving up like, you know, hockey games.
Yeah.
It's like, Lord, there's nothing wrong with these. They're great. They make everyone better. Everyone's a better person. And like, that's a challenge, but sometimes that's what giving up even one discipline for another is.
Yeah.
And that's, it's hard.
Yeah.
It's not always easy.
No.
You don't look like this just by accident. You know, this body took carving.
Years
it's taken years to carve out, you know? This is deep intentional work. It's Cadbury eggs.
Yeah.
Years and years of bags of Cadbury eggs at Easter.
I do want to speak to maybe some people that are, their personality is maybe more like mine. Like I really value spontaneity just in life.
Really?
No way. Shocking, guys.
I did not know that.
I value variety. Like I just, you know, I like to spice things up a little bit.
You know? Charismatic. You're the
charismatic. I'm far on the charismatic side. You've never seen charisma like this. But I think that there are ways to make the disciplines feel spontaneous.
Totally.
That like I think that it's less important how you do these things and more important that you do these things.
Totally. Yeah.
So I think, you know, for people that may feel like, man, I'm just like, I'm not that guy who's going to have, you know, every morning I'm waking up at 5 a.m. Well, that's fine. But what is your everyday thing?
Yeah.
You know?
Or, and if what it's not your, 5, like, if you have to start getting ready at 7:30, could you do 7?
Uh-huh.
Could you give me 30 minutes?
Yeah.
You know? Well,
and even like, instead of going like, I'm in the car, oh, like maybe I'll give this time to the Lord. What would make that time with the Lord sacred is if you made the decision every day from work, I have 25 minutes and Lord, this is our agreed upon time.
That's good.
That I'm going to go after you.
Yeah.
So it feels like, you know, maybe it's not 30 minutes before 7, but it is 30 minutes on your drive to work that you said, Lord, I'm setting apart this time for
I'm
gonna you.
I'm going to discipline myself to be in this moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, and even, and I've talked about this a lot, I carve out time to be spontaneous.
Yeah, yeah.
The time is carved out. Mm-hmm. The activity is spontaneous.
Right.
Like right now, because I normally do it on my own, but 24/7 prayer has an app called Lectio 365. And they, because like the worst part of Lectio Divina for me is like I hate picking scriptures to do Lectio Divina to.
Oh,
that takes me longer than actually doing Lectio Divina.
Sure. Yeah.
Like I'm like, not this one. No. You know, and so they have an app where you can do like, you can do Lectio Divina and it's just a guided time of scripture and prayer. And, you know, they use the pray acronym like a lot of people do, pause, reflect, ask, and yield. And I've really enjoyed, like, I did it one day spontaneously because I have carved out time to just do things with the Lord that I don't really know what I'm going to do. And, like, I fall in love with that. So it's okay to carve out time, then get in there and go, what do you want to do?
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Let's knock around at some stuff, you know? Like, and I think even that is really good where it's like, sometimes discipline is time-based, not activity-based.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're activity-based, not time-based.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? And so it is, there is a bit of, it's okay to be charismatic with, as far as spontaneity of doing it. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's the, and I think that's why that's the term. Like, if you become too contemplative, there's no freedom for the Lord to be Him.
Mm-hmm.
And if you become charismatic, if you're not feeling it, you're never going to do it.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's that, you know what I mean? It's the scales of justice of it. You know what I mean?
Totally.
And like that is the great challenge that I think a lot of us are facing is how do I live in the place of being contemplative while saying, your will, not mine.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
You mentioned the 24/7 prayer app. Are there any other apps or websites or anything that you guys use that kind of help you, maybe not necessarily just with disciplines, but like just in this, you know, creating a lifestyle that involves worship, is there anything you guys use?
I know Brian, most of his messages he gets from a place called sermoncentral.com. Just nice, kind of downloads a free sermon.
Yeah, that's great.
That's what he preaches out of. It's I love that.
Yeah, it's come a long way, guys. It's crazy. I like my Bible.
That's a sick app.
YouVersion. I do have things like, I have very few apps, but I do have, and I've written my own. You don't have to write your own. You can Google them and find your own. But I do have like, I do have the same liturgies I pray in the morning and before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. So, you know, like sometimes I don't want to think in the morning. I don't want to pick a portion of scripture. I don't want to pick, I want to like spontaneously pray. I'm too tired. And so like, I always start my day with the same liturgy. I always end my day with the same liturgy. So like writing, and it's all just in my notes app.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have my phone, but I do have my iPad. And so I have that. I do use like Lectio 365. That's a really good one. Yeah. I don't know if I have any other. I do love, like on YouTube, there's a lot of great guided prayers and guided spiritual meditations. Like, make sure it's biblical, but biblical spiritual meditations.
Yeah.
So there is some of that stuff like that I think is great. But like, don't be afraid to write like a structure down even before to take in there. Like, I've written down prayers and lists and things. And like, I think a lot of that stuff people feel like isn't holy. No, it's okay to walk in with, you know, there's literally a book of common prayer that people have been praying for a thousand years.
Yeah.
It's okay to have pre-written things that you pray about. And and I craft sentences, you know what I mean, to ask for specific things that open my eyes and my ears to certain things. And so I think like that's really good stuff to do.
Yeah.
That and some creed, a little bit of creed in the morning.
With arms wide open.
Yeah, just something to kind of get the whole family going. About 6 a.m. Crank it
to the whole house.
Wake up, Benjamin. I love that stuff.
Yeah.
Do you have any apps you use?
I mean, YouVersion one is really good.
It is a great one.
Obviously, it's just a good free Bible app. One thing that I like, it most of the time it annoys me, but you know, when you've used the app consistently for a few days, it'll say, "Hey, you're on a streak." And even though it's really dumb, I'm more of a paper Bible person. Like, if I'm gonna read, I'd just rather be in that. But it does remind you, like, oh, like that's a good habit. You know, that's something that. Even if it's like I've been in the app more often because I'm like studying for a sermon or something, like even just that little reminder is like a good like mental trigger where it's like, okay, that's not a bad thing. You know?
Yeah, I know. It's great.
Yeah.
There are always like little things. I even think like a spot. I think you should have a spot. I think you should have a spot where you pray in the morning. You should have a spot in the morning that's your chair. That's your sacred place. I think having a spot, I love having a routine because it builds something in me that I find a little bit of comfort in. Sometimes the Lord calls me out of it, but you know, like I wake up, I make my coffee, I have my chair, you know what I mean? I turn my little heater on and like it's go time, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think all those little things, like I know that this chair is where I sit to pray, and I think all those little things matter. You know, I think sometimes we can get so spontaneous that it's like we don't really have anything that's sacred. And my chair has kind of become sacred, you know. And so I do think that stuff helps too. But just worship the Lord, man. That's all I got to say.
Got to do it.
That's all I got to say. I've been reading a lot.
Got to have it.
And I just feel like you need to worship the Lord. I will say on message notes, if you've gotten message notes for any of the messages that we've preached in this emphasis, at the bottom, there's always weekly when I'm preaching. Let me reference that. I don't do other people's message notes, so people do their own. But when I preach, there's always a practice for you to do for that week. And within.
And a little selfie if you worship.
And a little selfie. And there's a little QR code to if you want to buy Plexus through me.
Speaking of my app.
That QR code. No, but there's always an individual practice, but also under that practice is a recommended reading for the emphasis that we're in.
Yeah.
So I have a list of books and I have a practice you can do for the whole week. To kind of engage with the message that we've got going. And so that's always at the bottom of message notes. And so, yeah, if you want any books on worship, the practices maybe some of us do during worship, but at the bottom of message notes every Sunday, that's always there. So it's a good resource.
Great.
Really good books.
All right. Well, this was a good emphasis. This was a good episode.
Just like that, another one's gone, man.
Just like that.
6 weeks old, out of the house.
Now we don't have to worship anymore, right?
Thank God that's over.
All right. Good. Good. Well, I hope you guys listening have enjoyed this, and I hope you're finding value in what we're doing and what we're going after. I know personally, you know, in each of these emphases, even going back to the first one, presence, I just felt like there was just such a shift in just the tangible presence of the Lord while we were doing that.
Totally. Yeah.
There's just something it's
flowing
about
into.
There's something I think that we're discovering. Obviously, this is a very new thing, but we're discovering that. Like, there's something about, like, giving all of our attention to one facet of life with the Lord.
Mm.
That just seems to, like, unlock something.
And mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really fun to see.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Well, that's going to be it. We will see you guys in a couple of weeks for our next emphasis on Scripture.